He had enough distractions in the form of 1,000 wounds and pains. He slipped through the ruins and down into the sub-basement, where he surprised a monk in the process of sabotaging the claywork. One snap of his jaws ended that, though it was probably too late to salvage anything. He went over and stared at the head, floating in the keg of oil. He was not a fast thinker, but steady, and he got where he wanted to go given time. The debate of the hour was whether or not there was any value in continuing an alliance with a thing so obviously mad and out of control. The head stared back, awake and aware and completely helpless. The monster was not a subtle or reflective sort, and so did not think it ironic that fate kept rendering helpless what was possibly the most powerful and most dangerous being in the world. The head stared with great intensity, as though there was some critical message it had to get across. But what little unspoken communication had existed between them in the past no longer worked. Toad Killer Dog woofed, snapped the head up, and carried it out of the monastery. He concealed it in a place he thought would be safe, then limped away wearily. It was start over from scratch time, and he had no idea, really, where to find the kinds of recruits he would need to do the tasks he needed done. He knew only where not to look. They had left nothing but desolation behind them in the north. He did not hurry. He did not feel pressed. He would live till he ran into something powerful enough to kill him. He thought he had all the time in the world. Chapter 35. There were lights in the wizard's place.
"He live alone?" Fish asked.
"I don't know," Smed said. The wizard seemed to be the wealthiest man in his neighborhood. He had real windows. A shadow moved across a paper shade.
"Doesn't matter anyway. There's no guarantee he won't have friends in or a client."
Smed started. He had not thought about the chance of this becoming a massacre. He glanced up the street, the direction the patrol had gone. The gray boys were all over the place. This had to go down quick and quiet.
"You able to do your part?"
"Yes. I'm working myself up the same way I did before we attacked at Charm. Big wizard, little wizard, the risks are pretty much the same."
"You were at Charm? I didn't know that."
"I was young and dumb. I don't kick it around. The Greys are still fighting that one. They don't want to let anybody who went there die of old age."
"Patrol." They faded into the shadows between two buildings, got down as low as they dared without sprawling in the garbage and dog shit. At the same moment, light spilled from the wizard's doorway. A woman emerged. The clip-clop of the soldier's boots picked up. They reached the woman as she reached the street.
"Evening, ma'am," one said. "You're out late,